We have found David Hidalgo, who is just about a couple of hours away from going on stage at Century Casino, brought to you by Capstone Entertainment. And David, welcome to the show. Nice to have you back on the air.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I've been following your band for so long. I've been doing this show for 15 years, but I've been doing rock and roll on radio and television for many years. And from day one, I was drawn in by this band. And if somebody asked me why, I still can't tell you, but I can tell you one thing. I am drawn in by the honesty of the music and the lack of BS and pretension with the people in the band. I think it, beyond the music, I think it's probably one of the reasons why you have stayed together so many years, because of your mutual self-respect. Am I right on that?
Yeah, we grew up together, went to high school together. You know, we've learned musically. You know, went through all this learning process, and you know, went together. So I think there's a certain thing to what we do as a group. You know,
I've also been asked about this show, David, about how I actually put my 2 hours together, because it's free form. It's the way radio used to be a long time ago, and I've admitted, even in broadcasting classes, that I only ever know what the first record is. And then while that, and it finds me, that music, whatever that first record is, I've heard it during the week, and then it starts the show. And while it's on being played, I start looking for the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and then 2 hours later, the show is done. So it's kind of an organic process, but it works for me. The more I read about Tin Can Trust and the way you went into the studio, it sounds like you pretty much had that same direction, that you went in and it became the album months later. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had nothing going in. And, you know, like, starts off with one idea, and then, well, that one's gone. Hopefully, you know, it'll spark something else. Or the environment, whatever it is, wherever the studio you're at, or somebody will say something, or you look for inspiration anywhere you can get it, and hopefully it'll get the ball rolling. You know,
everybody brings bits and pieces of like a riff here, or perhaps a chorus or a verse there, and it sort of comes together that way.
Well, it's usually there's three principal writers, I guess, of the band. You know, so Caesar will come up with something, or Louie and I work together. Usually, you know, I'll come up. Caesar will come up with a musical idea, or I will, and then we'll go from there. You know, and then Louie and I'll talk it over, and we'll kind of come up with a concept or an idea for the song, and what we're trying to, you know, we'll try to map it out in a way. Like Louie and I will get together, and we'll go in the corner somewhere, and I'll kind of play it through the way I'm thinking it should go, you know, kind of map it out. So he has like a little road, you know, like a road map, pretty much, of what the arrangement is. And then, so if he can go off and start thinking about it, maybe, and while we're getting a track, you know, and it might be an odd way of working, but it's the way we've, due to, you know, the fact that we all have, families, and you know, now we have a couple of us have grandkids now. It's hard to, you know, put time aside to go sit in the room and you know, bang it out like we used to.
So
it probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but we just don't have the time to do it like that.
So what was the tip of the iceberg on Tin Can Trust? What was the first track that you laid down, and perhaps that sent you off in that direction?
Well, we started with Caesar had an idea for the cumbia, the song that's called Yo Canto.
Yep.
And, well, that, you know, it was a pretty simple idea, you know, and we, little by little, we pulled it into, you know, it turned into what it is now, you know. So while that was going on, you know, Caesar's working on doing his parts or singing the vocal or something. So I went in the other room, and there was a, see, the studio is it's called Manny's Studio, and it's in East LA, just east of downtown LA, It was an old warehouse. It had this real echoey sound, and there's an old upright piano in there. And so that led way to Jupiter and the Moon. Ask Jupiter and the Moon. That was the second track. And I forgot what happened after that.
I think I read somewhere that Steve Berlin was saying that you had to bring in your own couch. There wasn't even a couch there. It was Spartan.
Yeah, there was nowhere to sit, and Conrad had a couch at his house that his wife had been wanting to get rid of, so he brought it down to Steve. But it worked out fine.
I'm going to touch on this because I've had this question in the back of my head for quite some time. I know it was a wild, wild roller coaster ride in and around La Bamba, and I know that for the longest time, you just wanted to get behind it and move on to the next music, all of the music that you wanted to make. I'm just wondering how you celebrated that number one hit and that wild ride that you went on, and then how you survived it as a band.
Well, you know, it was fun. You know, it was exciting. You know, I mean, it was a we got into the film, the project, I think just because of our admiration for Richie Valens, his music and what he meant to our community, the Chicano Mexican American community. He was like the first Chicano to have a hit, in mainstream radio, and a hit in Spanish, first rock and roll hit in Spanish. And so he was like a mentor to us. He was one of the people that we, throughout the years, we've looked up to, as one of the guys that got it started for the rest of us, So and when it took off, and when the way the movie was made, it was just a story about an American kid with dreams, and a tragic story in the end. But so I think it touched the nerve with everyone. So it took off. And the song is so simple, any kid could sing it and play it. So all the elements were there, And we were happy about it, to be involved, And it was a fun ride for a while, But at the same time, no one wanted to hear anything else we had. We did an album called By the Light of the Moon at the same time. They were released within the same year. And nobody had heard that album, except for the hardcore fans.
Right.
And so it's, like they say, a double-edged sword. It was good, and it's sometimes a little frustrating, but we got through it.
Well,
that's what we did. After we did that, we did La Pistola del Corazón. We did the traditional album, just to let people know, and for ourselves to get back to our roots, get focused again.
I'm talking with David Hidalgo, who is going to be on stage tonight with Los Lobos, of course, at the Century Casino in Edmonton, and Capstone Entertainment were kind enough to put he and I together. You used the word mentor, David, in reference to your work on La Bamba and, of course, Richie Valens. The ride from 2004, you had Bobby Womack, Elvis Costello, Mavis Staples, Richard Thompson, and Reuben Blades. Mentors all, friends all. Why those people on that album?
Well, yeah, it was our 25th anniversary, and we wanted to do something with the people that we admired, our friends, and influences, and mentors, and all of that, and we tried to. We tried to pull from every facet or whatever, every style that we've like Bobby Womack was from day one, he's an old, one of the greatest soul singers and songwriters around. And we had this idea, and then just called him up, and he said, yeah, sure. And that's how easy it was. That was a great thing. It's like, we called Mavis and, see, because we had done some music with Pop Staples had recorded,
right,
one of our songs, The Neighborhood, and so we thought, well, let's just talk to Mavis. Maybe Mavis would want to do something. And there's a song that we had Someday, which was a gospel song, and kind of rearranged it with her in mind.
Yep.
And it went like that. It was just we'd call Tom Waits, you know, hey man, we have a track. You want to do something? Yeah, I want to sing in Spanish, you know. All right, okay, so you know, and we made it easy. We did it like Elvis did his. In That Our Time was a song that he used to play in his sets, like when we first recorded it, and so we knew he had he liked the song, so we thought we'd ask him, and we made it so it was easy for everyone too. So Elvis did the recording that's on the album. He did it at his sound check in Norway or something. You know?
Get out of
here. And Tom Waits did it, his song on a cassette at his home. And we were in Chicago, so we went over to close to Mavis's house to record so she wouldn't have to travel and make it easy for her. And, you know, and Rich Thompson is in L.A. half of the time, and so does Ruben Blades. So they just came out to Caesar's studio. And so and Dave Alvin, too, you know. These are, and, you know, Dave Alvin, you know, he's like, he was one of the first guys with the Blasters, him and his brother, and you know, the rest of the band. They, you know, offered us an opening slot when they were, you know, on top of the scene in L.A., you know, and they really gave us the boost. That got us started, actually. It got us a, you know, record deal and all that, so we owe a lot to them. And so we had to get Dave on there somewhere. And, Richard Thompson, we listened to for years, you know, with Fairport Convention, just another big, you know, influence, you know.
Very nice. For all of those people who are coming and seeing you live tonight, just a word about the live albums. When I last saw you was in Vancouver, and I immediately went to the merch table and said, show me your live albums. And I think it was One Time, One Night, Volume 1. How many volumes are there? Do I have to get caught up? Are there volumes 2, 3, 4, 5?
There's 3 now, I think.
Wow.
There's 1 acoustic live and there's 2 electrics. And then we sell, you know, Tin Can Trust out there too. And we also, at the end of the show, we go out to the merchandise, to the merch table and, you know, hang around, sign stuff, you know, BS and talk, joke around, you know.
There's not a lot of bands do that, David. You know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we appreciate people coming out, so we think it's important to us.
And for the people in the audience, if you can't get to the concert and you're thinking about maybe grabbing a live one, check out the Live at the Fillmore 2005. Captured the guys in full stride. It was a great set, wasn't it, David?
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was good. And there's another one that we're working on getting. It's, maybe I shouldn't even mention it yet, but I will. Kiko, we did some live shows of the Kiko album. We performed the whole album. And it's on DVD. We're just working on working out the legal part of it too, because we're not with Hollywood Records anymore, so they own it. So we're trying to work out a licensing deal to get that going. And hopefully, people will get to see that soon.
It's a wonderful business you're in.
Yeah, it beats working.
I would be neglecting my duty if I didn't ask you. What's up ahead? Because you are, you know, everybody has their side projects. You appear on albums, soundtracks, all sorts of things. What in the next, up ahead, next 6 months, 8 months, where can we expect to see members of the band and Los Lobos as a band?
Well, over the last couple of months, I had the opportunity to do some sessions with T-Bone Burnett, and one was for a movie with Jeff Bridges, and I'm not sure what the name of it, and that probably won't be for another year or so. I mean, they just started filming that, but there's that, and then there's the Chieftains' 50th anniversary album. Like I had a chance to play on, and there's some other things that you know, just keep an eye out. I've been lucky, grateful, you know, to be a part of some of these other things. But that's you know, there's okay. Always hopefully. There's always been something to do, but hopefully it'll continue.
I signed up for the newsletter, David. I'll stay in touch.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this concert tonight and bringing the music and the joy to a Saturday night for a whole bunch of folks at Century Casino. And I will continue to play the music, and I will always, always be a fan.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
He is David Hidalgo. He's not only one of the writers and one of the voices of Los Lobos, but one of the finest guitar players ever to strap on a guitar and play music in my lifetime. He's just not the flashy guy that gets all the spotlights. You listen to his playing, phenomenal. Los Lobos, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in Edmonton, brought to you by Capstone Entertainment at the Century Casino. I think it's like $49.95 at the casino. You can, and I think there's two sets tonight starting at 8 o'clock. I want to thank Capstone for putting David Hidalgo and myself together, and I hope you enjoy the music. This is Mulligan's 2, CKUA. We're talking with David Hidalgo from Los Lobos. They're playing tonight at the Century Casino, and we're just talking about their life and times on Mulligan's 2. This is CKUA. He is David Hidalgo from Los Lobos. And we're just talking to, and they're in town, and they're in Edmonton tonight at the Century Casino. Los Lobos is in Edmonton tonight at the Century Casino, and I'm talking with David Hidalgo, lead singer, one of the singers, lead guitarist for the band. No. And I'm speaking with David Hidalgo, one of the key members of an incredible band.